else. If you brought your Bibles this morning, say amen. 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 Good to see some people here. We visited yesterday out of Andalusia. Praise the Lord for door knocking and soul winning. Amen. I think that's God's business that we ought to all be a part of if you can. And like Brother Walter said, if you can't door knock, which a lot of times it's not that you can't, it's that you won't. And let's just be real. I mean, I struggle with it often. But if you can't or you won't, at least pray for those who are out there door knocking, because you know that is God's business to go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. Amen. And I believe it's our business to get that gospel abroad to every creature. That's what God told us to do. Galatians chapter 5 this morning. I'm going to start a series on how to pursue a life of holiness. How to pursue a life of holiness. And you know, I began to study this and I thought to myself how often we absolutely don't even think about a life of holiness. But see, we serve a God who's perfect. Everybody know that? He's perfect and He sent His Son Jesus to be our standard for living. He's who we ought to be striving to be like. And don't say that you're like Jesus living contrary to the Word of God on purpose. I know the Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I'm well aware that that's why God had to send Jesus Christ to die for our sins, because we were going to ultimately come up short and not going to be able to make heaven on our own. Everybody okay with that? We were not going to be able to make heaven on our own. Eternity was going to be damned for us. It was going to be eternal damnation without Christ. But God sent His only begotten Son, Jesus, so that we didn't have to die and go to hell. So because of that, if you're saved in here this morning, let's not be ashamed. Say amen if you're saved. You know you're saved, say amen. Amen. Look, if you're saved, you ought to try to pursue a life of holiness. I believe that's a godly thing. Galatians chapter 5, verse number 16. We'll start reading there. And we'll read down through verse number 26. But we'll just focus on one verse this morning and see how long the Lord allows us to stay here in the next few weeks, Lord willing. I would like to help you, help me, and you pray for me and I'll pray for you, that the Lord will help us all pursue a life of holiness. Heavenly Father, thank You this morning, Lord, for Your Word and for Your truth. Lord, I thank You for down on the cross. Lord, I thank You for meeting with us already, Lord, in songs and in the special music, Lord, in Sunday school class. Lord, I pray for those who are traveling today. Lord, I think of those who are on vacation. Lord, some newly married. Lord, I'm excited to see them back in church next week. Lord, what a blessing that is. And Lord, some are sick. Lord, we pray for them that they'll be healed, that they can be back in church with us quickly. But Lord, right now, Lord, we just want to forget about all of that and think about this morning. How can we pursue a life of holiness? And if we're not pursuing a life of holiness, why? And Lord, maybe what are some of the things we need to get out of our life that is preventing us from living a life of holiness? Help us understand that there really are things that interfere with our relationship with God, that You expect us to live soberly and righteously and blameless, Lord, before this world. I just ask You now, Lord, to cleanse me of sin, empty me of self, fill me with Your Spirit this morning, Lord. Allow Your people to hear from heaven, Lord. Get me out of the way, Lord. I just want to be a messenger to deliver a message that You've given me. But Lord, I want Your people to hear from heaven this morning. Holy Ghost, now You do Your job. And Lord, I pray if someone is here, Lord, that don't know You, maybe they couldn't say amen, that they know they're saved. But Lord, I just pray today that today will be the day of their salvation. I'm thankful that You're in the business of saving people. And I pray You do that thing that only You can do today. Lord, bless our fellowship later in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Galatians chapter 5 and verse number 16. When you're there, say amen. Amen. The Bible says, or verse number 16, I'm sorry. This I say then, walk in, what's those next two words? The Spirit. And ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. That answers the million-dollar question that I get asked often. Preacher, how do I stop doing such and such? You put your sin in the blank. How do I stop doing this? You know, you've been there. You've asked your preacher, or you've asked somebody. You've asked mom and dad. Or maybe your kids come to you. Mom, dad, I just don't know how I can stop doing that. I just keep on falling into that bad trap over and over again. Well, here's the simple answer. Don't you love people problems but godly solutions? We're preaching that on Wednesday nights. Don't you love that God has an answer for that? Walk in the what? spirit, and you shall not fulfill the Bible. Look, our Bible doesn't say you might not. It says you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the what? Law. Now, how many is thankful we're not under the law? We are under a dispensational era of grace, thanks to Jesus Christ being submissive to His Father and leaving the right hand of the Father, coming down to dwell among men for 33 and a half years, choosing the death of the cross, to die for your sins, that ushered in the era that we are still in today. That is the era of grace. And thanks be to God that we live in that era. Okay, y'all need to be on the same page with me on that. You better be thankful that you're not under the law, but you are under grace. The Bible says in verse 19, "Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, immolations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God." Now, please don't be one of these Bible thumpers who think, "See, I told you you could lose your salvation if you do such and such." It didn't say that you wouldn't go to heaven. Did the Bible say that? The Bible said you'll not inherit. What we're doing right now is actively laying up an eternal inheritance. If you are saved, when you get to heaven, you'll have some inheritance. You say, "How much will I have?" Well, that's up to you. That's absolutely up to you. But I can tell you what you won't have if you live in the flesh. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the what? There it is again. If we live in the Spirit, let us walk in the Spirit. And by the way, the Spirit lives within you if you're saved. The Holy Ghost of God does live within you if you're saved. So you ought to be able to walk. You say, "I can't do it." Yes, you can. I can do all things. Through who? Christ. Verse 26 says this, "Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another." So I'm in Galatians 5, 16 through 26. But how do I pursue a life of holiness? We're going to get through one verse today, and I know there's more verses there, but we're going to talk about this morning. Walk in the Spirit. Say that back to me. Walk in the Spirit. What does this mean? Well, walking in the Spirit means simply this. It generally refers to living a life guided and empowered by the Holy Spirit, rather than being dominated by the flesh or worldly desires. So before we get deep into the message this morning, I want to kind of break something down to you. How many remember what you've done in the last 7 days? I mean, good, bad, ugly, you know, honoring God, not so honoring God. But look, here's the thing. What you've done in the last week, take the pros and the cons. The pros are all the things that were Spirit-led, that you chose to obey the Spirit of God. You obeyed every unction of the Holy Ghost. You obeyed every prompting the Holy Ghost gave you. You did everything you were told to do. And the cons are every time you obeyed the flesh. Now, how many of you know we often obey our flesh? All of us fall into that trap. And it's because we're serving the devil at that time. We're not honoring. We're not submitting to God. But you say, "Well, which one am I in? Which one's controlling me?" Whichever one outweighs the other. Either the Spirit or the flesh. And by the way, the flesh, you're in the control of the flesh. That's the world, the flesh, the devil. So don't be dominated by fleshly or worldly desires. It signifies a life of obedience to God's will. What has God asked you to do that maybe you're still on the brink about? Maybe you're still straddling the fence. "Well, I know God wants me to do this, but I'm just not sure if I'm ready to go all in for God or not." We're going to talk about that tonight, going all in, and I'm excited to preach that too. But it, you know, being walking in the Spirit is marked by spiritual growth. If you walk in the flesh, you'll know someone who has fleshly growth. Maybe let's just use a little example of, and look, you can disagree with me all you want. I still think that smoking marijuana is a gateway drug to everything else. You don't have to agree. Oh, preacher, nothing. It's a gateway drug, is what it is. And the devil's found a way to legalize the stuff. Well, it helps me. Of course it does. Takes you out of your mind. And then what about when it goes away and the pain comes back? What's really helping then? Hey, I got a permanent fix for you. It's called God. Y'all with me? It's a gateway drug. And pretty soon, when you're no longer being prescribed marijuana, and now you're snorting cocaine and shooting up heroin into your veins and overdosing on fentanyl, hey, what's the problem? Your flesh. Your flesh has desires. The Spirit of God doesn't desire that stuff. Let's take, and here's the thing. You can see it progress. We're going back to progression. Let's just take it for this. A teenage boy goes out one day and he's never drank a drop of alcohol in his life. And he decides, one night he's gotten pressured by his buddies. They're all going out. They just won the football game. They're state champions. They're going to go celebrate. And maybe he's a preacher's kid. And maybe he's had some standards. And maybe he's had some convictions. And maybe he's said no for years and years and years. Maybe he's had the ability because he's been walking in the Spirit. Maybe he's had some character given to him by the Holy Ghost of God to say no and to say no and to say no. And all of a sudden he says, you know what? I was part of that state championship team. It's not going to hurt me to go out and celebrate just one time. And he cracks that bottle open and he takes that drink. And a year later, he's an alcoholic. He's a drunk. He's no longer in church. But he was called to preach. You see, fleshly progression's a real deal. But so is spiritual growth. Just like you can notice, well, I remember when that boy didn't really used to do that stuff and then he took his first drink. We tell stories like that all the time. I remember when that girl decided she was going to keep herself pure and then she started dating boys that she knew were not godly, that did not come to church, that did not have the same vision as her parents, that did not have the same vision as her pastor. She started dating boys and going out and doing things and now she's 17 and pregnant. Hey, we hear the stories all the time. That's called fleshly progression. Y'all with me? It happens all the time. It's tragedy. But where are the spiritual growth stories? Why don't we have the stories of, I remember when he was in Sunday school. And I remember when he learned his first verse. I remember when I taught him David and Goliath. And his eyes lit up and he was amazed at the power of God and at the strength of David and the faith that David had. And I remember when he was 11 years old and he went to a camp and God called him to preach. And I remember him knowing that that was not a call of the devil. Hey, you say, how do you know you're called to preach? Let me just answer it like this. You just know. The devil ain't ever called a man to preach. Y'all with me? He don't do that. But that boy got on fire and he started preaching at church. He started preaching in junior church. That boy started preaching in nursing homes and on street corners. And now he's a pastor. Then he got called to be a missionary. Hey, that's spiritual growth. Far too little stories on the spiritual growth side. Why? Because we have a bunch of carnal people that have no desire to pursue holiness. No desire to pursue holiness. Don't get offended this morning. Please. Listen, I've sat under a lot of messages where preachers said things I didn't like. But you know why I didn't like them? 100% of the time they were right. I mean, I can sit there and agree when nobody's preaching on my sin. Oh, praise God. Preach on that. I'm so glad she's here today, preacher. Woo! But you start preaching on my sin, all of a sudden we start... He must have been spying on us. No, God's spying on you. Hello? What you do in your own time is your business. But I'm going to tell you something. It's God's business too. Don't be offended when conviction takes place. It's so important to understand that we need to grow spiritually. By the way, We don't do what we do to obtain favor with God. We do what we do because we've already obtained favor. When you got saved, you obtained 100% God favor. You don't do what you do to get saved. You do what you do because you are saved. Here are some ways to help with walking in the Spirit. Walking in the Spirit means allowing the Holy Spirit to lead and direct one's thoughts. Hey, let me ask you this. How's your thoughts, men? What do you think about during the week? And I'm not talking about when your wife's with you and your kids are around and your grandkids are around. I'm talking about what do you think about when you're alone? How's your thought process? Is it constantly negativity? Is it constantly bad things, perverted things? Ladies, what do you think about? The Bible talks about bringing our thoughts captive into obedience to the Lord. What about your actions and your desires? The Holy Spirit should be in control of your thought life. Think about the thoughts that you have on a regular basis. What if God were to right now put a screen up here with your name on it and say, here's your thoughts for the past 24 hours. I wonder how many would say, Lord, I hope I can find the remote and turn that screen off before anybody sees what I thought about or what I did or what I desired. Hey, it ought not be like that. Christians ought not always be living, looking over their shoulder, trying to see if somebody's going to catch them. Hey, you've already been caught. You have an omnipresent God. You've already been caught. And by the way, quit worrying about what he or she thinks. You don't have to answer to them. You have to answer to God one day. You will stand before a holy God and answer for him, or answer for yourself. Are the majority of your thoughts that you have, are they God-honoring and God-pleasing? Would your thought process be at all acceptable in the sight of the Lord? Or do you have a thought process that is perverted and contrary to the Word of God? The Holy Spirit should be in charge of your thoughts. How can I make sure the Holy Spirit is controlling my thoughts? I must learn to make a choice to yield to the Spirit's influence rather than being controlled by sinful impulses. Here's the thing. God finished the work at Calvary. Would everybody agree with that? All you had to do was believe and confess and receive by faith Jesus Christ for all of eternity. After that, God... Come here, Kelly. This is not... See, I think we get a misconception of who God is, and I'm so sick of people hearing, well, if God would make me do this, it's like this. Kelly, I want you to preach. And God goes over here and puts a chain on him. And he pulls him up here, puts him in the pulpit, opens the Bible for him, makes him study, makes him practice, makes him preach. How many know God's never done that to a man? Here's the problem we have. When God calls a man to preach, the old devil says, Kelly, you know that life you was living before you was called to preach sure was fun, wasn't it? And you start thinking to yourself, self, that old devil's got a point. That kind of was fun. I'm going to have to give up some things. You know, God, let's bargain a little bit here. If you really want me to preach, make me preach. How many know that that's not God? Hey, go sit down. God wants you to desire to serve Him. And by the way, if you have the Holy Ghost, the desire's there. Hello? Because that Holy Ghost hates sin. He's 100% contrary to every sin. But he's not going to physically make you. If God wanted me to go soul winning, he'd start my truck, turn that air conditioner on. It's too hot out there. He'd make me get up, get in the truck. He'd drive the truck to the church. He'd tell me whose door to knock on. But he ain't done that, preacher. Hey, he's not gonna. Fact check. That needs to be your desire. We got back to that van yesterday and I had the keys in my pocket and I think it was Kyler and somebody else was in the van. They said, thanks for leaving the van keys. They were burning up, dripping sweat. It was horrible. It was hot. I'm telling you, it was burning up. But guess what? There's fruit in the building this morning from doors we knocked on yesterday. You say, I'd like to do that. You would. That's the Holy Spirit. You would love it. It's rewarding. It's a blessing serving the Lord. But you've got to not be controlled by the sinful impulses. And by the way, understand this. The sinful impulses, the thoughts, you say, preacher, they just won't go away. They're not going to go away. But here's what you can rest on. How many like Bible promises? Where sin abound, grace did much more abound. How many believe that? Jesus Christ and His finished work at Calvary is far more powerful than any sinful thought you'll ever have. You have the ability to say no. You simply don't have the desire to say no. The Holy Ghost will never prompt you to do anything contrary to the Word of God. The Holy Ghost will only prompt you to do things that will further the kingdom of God and make God look good. Well, if the Holy Ghost is going to prompt me, He's going to have to help me look good. Look, He did all He can do for you, and some of you still ain't got it. Y'all with me? He ain't about you. He's about Him. He's about Jesus. Think about this. He sent His only Son to die for you. Look, He loved you enough to do that. That's enough love. It's time to return the favor. See, God's an investor. He likes some return on His investment sometimes. Y'all with me? None of you would invest into something if you knew you weren't going to get a return. Why do you expect God to do it? That ought to be convicting. I know some people's offended now. That's okay too. But don't be offended. Stop using that word. It's called conviction. The Holy Ghost will always prompt you to do things that are right and will always lead you and guide you into all truth. But it is a choice to yield to the Holy Ghost of God. You know, when you're out driving and you come up to a yield sign, what's that yield sign mean? Does it mean just, that's there, I'm going to blow right on through it? No, you can, and 50% of the time you might be just fine. It might be all right, but it means this. If I'm going out here and there's a yield sign, there's free traffic flowing this way. They don't have a stop sign. They don't have a stop light. They don't have a yield sign. They got the right-of-way, baby. That's what they got. And if I just blow through that yield sign and that log truck's coming and hits me, whose fault is it? My fault. Hey, there's some things in our Christian life. Most of us are playing around, fishing to get barreled by a log truck, spiritually. Why? Because we don't pay attention to the yielding of the Holy Ghost of God. We just barrel on out there and go about our day. I got this to do, this to do, this to do. I got this on my mind, but God said, hey, yield, stop, stop, stop. Hold on just a minute. No, God, I got to go. Boom. Spiritual tragedy. Pay attention. The yield sign is there for you. It's there to help you. It's there to protect you. It's there to prevent things from happening. Y'all with me? How many know that everything that happens is not always God's plan? It's simply not. God said, thou shalt not kill. So every time somebody's murdered, is that God's plan? No. That would make God a liar. Things happen all the time outside of God's plan. Why? Because we have a sin nature and a free will. God allowed us to have that. It's not always God's plan. If it's God's will, hey, it is God's will that you marry right. I wish the young people were in here, all of them. It is God's will that you marry. Well, I'll marry whoever God wants me to. No, you won't. Not if you don't do things right. Hey, Adam had one choice. Her name was Eve. That was it. There was no window shopping. Looking, checking them out. Ooh, she looks good. And no. He went to sleep on that thing. And when he woke up, God said, here you go, bud. And he said, whoa, man. Called her woman. Y'all get that? That was funny. She was perfect for him. Hey, don't think that, oh, if God wills this going to happen. Listen, God does have a will and a purpose for your life. But folks, we've got to learn to obey Him if we're going to get to where He wants us to be. Things don't just happen. Many of us put ourselves in positions to fail simply by being around the wrong people, being in the wrong place, being around the wrong things. Many of us could limit our sinful mistakes and our desires by just setting up some rules and some guidelines to live by. 1 Thessalonians 5:22 says this, abstain from all appearance of evil. I love the word appearance. That means I don't necessarily have to be doing the evil to be in sin. If I'm in a place where somebody can say, hey, I saw you there. I caused a brother to stumble. Well, you say, it ain't my fault they got offended. Yeah, it is. Because if you wouldn't have been there, they wouldn't have been upset. They wouldn't have been able to accuse you. So you're the sinner there. I'm the sinner there, not them. It's your fault you were there to begin with. The Bible said abstain from all appearance of evil. The verse encourages believers to be discerning and to avoid not only actual sin, but also actions that could be mistaken for sin or that might create a negative impression. By the way, why as a Christian would you want people to think bad about you? You ever think about that? You don't want nobody talking bad about you in the physical realm. You know, if someone I'll just use this as an example. If someone come up and called my wife ugly, I'd be upset at them. She'd probably be offended that you thought she was ugly. But why doesn't it upset us when somebody say, that's a dead Christian? Hello? We're more worried about our physical appearance than we are our spiritual appearance. Someone says, hey, weren't you called to preach? You like Peter. I don't know him. No idea who that is. And that joker spent 3.5 years with him. Firsthand. Left everything he had and followed Jesus. Remember that story? Someone says something negative to you. That hurts on the physical side. But don't you go to that church? I don't know. Do I? Do I go to that church? It don't bother you when someone calls you out spiritually. By the way, it should. You should care more about your spiritual life than your physical life. It emphasizes the importance of living a life that is above reproach and that reflects the holiness of God. You know, there's been one man that walked the planet that did that, and his name was Jesus. Not ever was he able to be accused. You know what they accused him of? Being exactly who he was, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. They didn't ever, they tried to get him for healing on the Sabbath one day. But here's the deal. Jesus was real. Everywhere he went, he did not change. He did not conform to the image of the world, to be like the world. He didn't get on board just because of a temporary time things are going to change, right? He didn't do that. He stayed real. He stayed blameless. We should not only strive to be blameless, but listen to this. Desire to be blameless. Desire it. When you wake up in the morning, God, it's my desire today. I know, God, that you want me to be blameless. But God, I'm to a point spiritually now where I'm so sick of making a mockery of your kingdom. I desire, show me, God, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit in me. See if there be any wicked way in me. And God, when you show it to me, I'm not going to be upset. I'm not going to be offended. Sure, I'll miss some of the things of the past, but God, I desire to serve you and you alone. I desire to have a blameless life. That's the life you ought to live. That's the real Christian life. And we're all still trying to figure it out, I know, but hey, we're pursuing a life of holiness. One day, we're going to be holy. One day. But here, listen, we can be holier every day. Verse 23 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 says this, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, what are some ways that I can make sure this happens? Well, I'm glad you asked me. Can I say this? You're going to have to desire and engage in a constant and never ceasing prayer life. You say, preacher, what do you mean? I mean this. How's your prayer life this morning? Look, if the only time you pray is when you sit down to eat or at church, when we bow our head to pray to open up the service or pray for the offering, folks, your spiritual level's in a mess. And I didn't say you're going to have to just pray. I mean desire a prayer life. You ever been busy out on your own and you think to yourself, I just want to talk to God? Hey, that's when you know you're getting spiritually right. When you have that desire to have that alone time with God. Jeremiah 33:3 says this, call unto me and I will answer thee. Ain't you glad you can call on someone who answers? I get people telling me all the time, I call you all the time, you never answer. That's true. Happens a lot. I'm sorry. But Jesus, God, is always there. Call unto me and I will what? Send you to my voicemail. No. He said, I'll answer thee. And not only will I answer thee, I'll show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Hey, what a promise. Who wouldn't want to see great and mighty things? Sorry, this thing's got to get fixed. There we go. Who wouldn't want to see great and mighty things? Matthew 26:41, watch and pray. Why? That you enter not into temptation. Hey, you want to get rid of some of those temptations? Give them to the Lord. Talk to God about them. Say, God, would you please? You know, I can think of two things in my life, and there's probably a lot more, but two specific things in my life that I have given up, and I know I should. There should be a lot more on this list, but two specific ones. And you know, the Bible talks about the sin that so easily besets you, right? Well, I remember when I quit chewing tobacco, and look, I started that at age 9 years old. I was very young. I used to steal it from the freezer when my dad kept it up there. I'm just telling on myself here. And I know some of y'all, oh, we all did. No, listen. Here's the problem. It wasn't until February the 2nd, 2015, when I decided I don't need this anymore. See, everyone said, why do you do that? Well, it helps with my stress level. And it did. But the stress never went away. Yeah. I mean, when the dip went out, the stress came back. So what I got to do? Go spend $5 more, get some more dip, put it back in my mouth, risk getting cancer, disobeying God, defiling the temple of God, just so I can have some temporary stress relief? Y'all with me? So here's what I did. You say, how'd you quit? Well, one, I desired to quit. I had a whole can. Just had gotten back from the store. Got back to work, had a whole can of that stuff, fresh. And I knew when I cracked that thing, it was going to smell good. You say, preacher, what are you doing? I'm telling you how this used to be. I'm not trying to give the devil no credit here. I'm just going to give God some credit. I said, here's what I do. I just gotten back. I ran out. I had a big old, I think we had like a 200 or 300 yard concrete pour we was going. I was running a pump truck, and that's a stressful job when you're dealing with idiots. Y'all with me? Running a pump truck, and sometimes the guy on the hose is crazy. You're watching out for people, trying to make sure the truck's running right, and you got a big responsibility. You're responsible for a lot. But I decided, I went out by the river, and I said, God, I know I shouldn't be doing this. And here's the excuse I made for so long. Well, you're not doing it around your kids. You're not doing it around your wife. You're not really doing it in front of a lot of people. You're kind of keeping to yourself. You're minding your own business. But God said to me, this is what He said. I should be the one you're relying on. And I said, you know what, God? You're right. I said, here's what I want to do. I'm not even going to take my knife out of my pocket and cut that seal off. I'm going to take this can and I'm going to throw it in that river. And I'm going to watch that can flow down that river. And when it goes out of sight, God, I'm never going to buy another can in my life. And I want you to make sure I don't do it. I said, God, will you please take the desire away? Can I tell you a secret? I've never desired it since. You say, that ain't, it is real. That's God. Second thing was my music. Now, I know some of you struggle with music. I struggled with music for a long time. But there again, Brother Walter said it this morning, if your music makes you want to go fill up a cooler full of beer and go ride dirt roads and drink and adultery and fornicate and do all that, hey, that's not godly music. So I said, God, look, you know I love music. Country music was my favorite thing. I know some of you are going to laugh at me, but when they started coming out with that country rap, I really liked that stuff too. I thought it was cool. Talking about big trucks and big tires with a little bit more beat, see? I like that stuff. My flesh does. But here's what God said. That's got a prominent place in your life. And all the time you're listening to that is taken away from me. I said, okay, God, you've done this for me before. I said, here's what I'm going to do. I'm not going to put it back on. I'm not going to buy it anymore. I'm going to delete it off all my devices. I said, I want you to take the desire of this music away from me. You know what He did? He took the desire away. Now, listen, you say, well, what if I get in and... Now, look, you're going to go into stores and you're going to hear it. I understand. And the devil's going to say, you know that song. I mean, he's been there before. Been there. You start singing, like, what in the world am I singing? But don't get in your truck after just asking God to take the desire away and turn the first country music station on. You know what it is. You know what those stations are. Turn the stupid thing off. You don't have to have that in your life. You'll be better off without it. But folks, it's going to take some desire. Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The Spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Romans 8:26, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Matthew 6:6, but thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Mark 11:24, therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire when ye pray, believe that ye receive them. Brother Walter said it this morning, what business do you have praying to a God, asking Him to do something, and you don't even believe in your heart that He's capable? That's insanity. That's crazy. Believe that God's able to do it. And lastly, Philippians 4:6 says this, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. I'm going to ask Miss Barb to come to the piano. Heads bowed, eyes closed this morning.